Today, I'm going to talk about a system called Turn, which can make threads more deterministic and stable. This work was done with my colleague, Jin Yue and Jia Zhe, and our advisor is Professor Junfeng Yang. The main idea is called schedule memoization. Memoize past working schedules and reuse these schedules on future inputs when possible. The intuition of schedule memoization actually matches well with the natural tendencies of migration birds that tend to migrate along familiar flyways to avoid possible hazards in unknown ones. For this reason, we name our system Tern after the Arctic Tern, the species that migrates the longest among all known animals. Before talking about our system, let's first see how we run multi-threaded programs today. If we run a due to non-determinism in the execution environment, such as process speed or OS scheduling, different runs of multi-threaded programs may show different behaviors, even running on the same input. Here I use a figure to show the idea. A solid shape represents an input, and a curved line represents a schedule running with the input. If you run the multi-threaded program multiple times, different runs may use different schedules. This non-determinism complicates understanding, testing, and debugging multi-threaded programs. For example, some schedules may contain bugs. They may not show up in the testing lab, but appear on the user's machine. Essentially, non-determinate executions are one-to-many mappings between inputs and schedules. In order to eliminate non-determinism, researchers have proposed a great idea called deterministic multithreading, or DMT. Essentially, these systems maintain a one-to-one mapping between input and schedules. As long as the input remains the same, these systems will always derive the same schedule to process this input. This determinism is great. However, there's a problem here. These systems make their schedules tightly dependent on input. As a result, when the input changes only slightly, and here a solid shape represents a slightly different input, these systems may force the program to run into a very different schedules. For example, consider a parallel compression tool, which splits a file into multiple blocks and spawns a number of threads to compress these file blocks in parallel. As long as the number of threads and the number of file blocks remain the same, we should be able to use the same compression schedule to compress a file, regardless of file contains or file size. However, existing DNA systems may use different schedules to compress the file, even only when the file contains changes slightly. Another problem is, just as Tongping has asked, even given the same input, if we want to test or debug a multi-threaded program by adding printf function, very simple function, the schedule run by on the same input can still be very different. That complicates debugging and testing multi-threaded programs. And some of the schedules may also contain bugs. And this is actually confirmed by our experiments, which I will describe a few slides later. Okay? In order to address this problem, we can use the idea of schedule memoization. Essentially, schedule memoization is to memoize past working schedules and reuse these schedules on future inputs when possible. It conceptually maps many inputs to one schedule. Here, as long as the input are similar, our system can reuse the same schedule to process similar inputs. A big benefit of doing so is we can make program behaviors repeatable across different inputs. And we can reuse well-tested schedules to avoid possible bugs in unknown schedules. And this is our main contribution. Now I will summarize the key feature of Tern. It runs on Linux as a user space scheduler, which sits transparently between applications and underlying OS, simplifying deployment. To memoize a new schedule, turn memoize a total order of synchronization operations as schedule. We use this representation as schedule because it's more efficient to enforce than shared memory access order, which I've solved in the evaluation results. Specifically, we memoize only race-free schedules. And because previous work has proved that as long as the run is data is race-free, the schedules we memoize can ensure full determinism. Please refer to our paper for more details on how we memoize race-free schedules. When we are memoizing schedules, we also keep track of input constraints required to reuse schedules. We do so because then sometimes when the input changes, we may have to use a different schedule. For example, let's consider the parallel compression tool again. As long as the number of threads and number of file blocks remain the same, we should be able to use the same compression schedule to compress a file. However, when the number of threads or number of file blocks changes, we may have to use a different schedule. For this reason, we keep track of input constraints using a well-known technique called symbolic execution. Symbolic execution tool is a well-known technique to keep track of input constraints. And the specific engine we leverage is CLI. To reuse the schedule, we first check a new input against the memoized input constraints. If this check can be satisfied, and then we enforce the same synchronization order on this new input, making program's behavior repeatable across different inputs. Now I'll summarize the evaluation results of TURN. We evaluate TURN on a diverse set of 14 programs, including two servers, Apache and MySQL, and a parallel compression tool, PPZip2, and 11 scientific programs from Splash2. We use both real and synthetic workload to evaluate these programs with TURN. The evaluation result shows TURN is too easy to use. For 13 out of the 14 programs, we only need to modify no more than 10 lines to adapt these programs to TURN. And it makes threads more stable. For example, TURN reuses only 100 schedules to process over 90% of a real HTTP chase to the Columbia CS website with 122,000 requests. And it incurs reasonable overhead. For 9 out of the 14 programs, it incurs less than 10% overhead and speed up 2 programs substantially from 10 to 20%. The maximum overhead is only 40%. The remaining of the talk will contain these 4 parts. First, I'll give an overview of TURN, and then I'll use an example to demonstrate how TURN works. And then I'll present a subset result from our evaluation, and then I'll conclude. First, let's see the workflow of TURN. In order to adapt a program to TURN, developers first annotate the program source to annotate all the input that may affect schedules. And then they compile the source code with the TURN instrumenter, a LLVM compiler brought in. The instrumenter will intercept all the pthread operations and so that TURN can control these operations at runtime. Then at the runtime, a core module of TURN is a schedule catch, which stores a set of tuples. Each tuple contains 2 elements. The first is the input constraint required to reuse a schedule. And the second one is the schedule as a total order of synchronization operations. When a new input comes, TURN will first find such a schedule from the schedule catch, such that the constraint of this tuple can satisfy the input. If so, TURN just first simply deliver the input to the replayer module, and the replayer will faithfully replay the synchronization order on this input, making the program behavior deterministic. If we could not find such a schedule, TURN will simply deliver the input to the memoizer, which will run the program, memoize the synchronization order and the input constraints, and then append the input constraint to the schedule catch. And here's the main idea to show how TURN works. Next, I use an example to demonstrate I'll use PPC2 as an example. The code, this piece of code is simplified for clarity. First, the program reads two input command lines. The first variable specifies the number of threads, and the second one specifies the number of file blocks. And then the program just spawns the number of threads, and then read the file from the file disk, the disk, and then split it into multiple blocks, and then append it to a global work list. Each work thread, you get each file block from the work list and compile the file block in parallel. Okay, and here the add and get function to the global work list is actually pthread mutex operations in the PPC2 code, which turn actually handles. Now I just use add and get for clarity. Given this is a piece of code, how can we make it work with turn? First, developers annotate all the input data that may affect schedules. Such data can be the full command line or packets read from the network. In our evaluation, we find this annotation overhead is very small. For most of the programs, we only need to modify less than 10 lines of code to adapt all these programs for turn, even for complex servers such as Apache and MySQL. And sometimes the developer annotation may contain some inaccuracy, and turn has developed a couple of techniques mentioned in the paper to tolerate this inaccuracy. And after the annotation, the developers will compile this piece of code with the turn instrumenter, and turn will intercept all the pthread operations so that it can control these operations at runtime, do the memorization, and do the replay. Next, I use this piece of code to demonstrate how turn memory schedules. Say we are given this command line, and this command line simply says, read the full doc text file, and then split it into two file blocks, and spawn two threads to complete these file blocks in parallel. Okay? And in the memorization, basically, turn will memorize two things. The first one is the total order of single operation, and the second one is the input constraint required to reduce this total order. And I use an arrow to denote the program counter of each thread, and I use different color to indicate different threads. As long as the main thread starts to go, and then you call the symbolic function. After you call this function, the turn execution engine, you know that the variable end thread may affect schedule. So you keep track of this variable, and keep track of all the conditional branch statement that is dependent on the value of this variable. For example, when the main thread calls the for loop, and it compares the loop index I with the end thread variable. Now the I is zero, so the true branch of this for loop is taken. And then turn will append this constraint, zero small than end thread with outcome two to the constraint set. And the main thread just go, and then turn will also record the sequential operations that is executed by this thread. And the new thread is born. Turn will also keep track of all the input constraints and the sequential operations that is executed from this thread. And the for loop is executed for the second time. This time I is one. So turn will append another constraint, one smaller than n thread, with outcome true to the constraint set. And similarly, turn will also memorize the sequential operations. Okay. Then at the third time the for loop is executed, now I is two. So the for branch of the for loop is taken. Then turn will append this constraint to the constraint set. Similarly, turn will memorize all the sequential operations and the input constraints that are executed by the main thread and all its children threads. Suppose the operation is going this way, one add and one get, and one add and one get again. And when the program exits, basically turn has memorized a total order of sequential operations and the input constraints required to reuse these operations. Okay? But please know that the constraint collecting in this way may not be in a compact form. They may contain some redundancy. For example, the zero smaller than n thread is actually redundant. And this redundancy will increase the constraint checking time at the reuse run, and then it will slow down the reuse run. In order to rescue this part of overhead, Tern has developed a couple of two refinements to simplify the constraints. In this particular case, the constraint will be simplified to 2 equals to n flat and 2 equals to n block. Now, given these memory schedules and the constraint, I will show how Tern reuse schedules. Okay, say there comes a new input with a different file with different size and different contents. The file is called bar.txt. And say the user is also wants to use two threads to compare this file, which is split into two blocks. And for the same interface, at the reuse run, the symbolic function actually will read the value of this variable from the input and will check the variable value against the input constraint. As long as the input constraint can succeed, Tern simply reuse the same total order of synchronous operations for this reuse run, making the execution of thread deterministic. Okay. Please note that although we enforce a total order of synchronous operations, majority of the code is not synchronous operations. For example, here, the compress function is not synchronous operation, so different worker threads can run this function parallelly. Above is the basic idea of Tern, and we have developed a couple of techniques to make Tern practical for server programs and to improve its speed. So please refer to our paper for more details on these techniques. Now I will focus on the evaluation results. There are three questions in the evaluation. The first one is how stable Tern is. So in order to answer this question, we evaluate Tern with three real applications, including Apache, MySQL, and the PPZip2, with both real and synthetic workload. For Apache, we use a 4-day Columbia CS web chase, which contains 122,000 HTTP requests. For MySQL, we use the Sysbench benchmark, which is also used by the developers themselves. We use two workloads. The simple one randomly generates select queries, and the transaction mode randomly generates select, update, insert, and delete queries. For PPZip2, we randomly pick 10,000 files from the USR directory on our evaluation machine. And for all the evaluation, we do them on a typical 4-core Intel machine. So the methodology here to measure how stable Tern is we first, we run Tern with this workload on 1 to 3% of the entire workload. And then we memoize a set of schedules. And then we use these schedules to process the entire workload to calculate the reuse rate. And the higher the reuse rate means the more stable Tern is. And please recall that we measure many to one mapping from input to schedule here. And this experiment is trying to quantify this many. So the table shows the result. Except for the MySQL transaction workload, for all the other three workloads, Tern is able to use a small number of schedules to get more than 90% of your reuse rate for the big entire workload. And the reuse rate for the MySQL transaction workload is relatively lower because the randomness of query types and parameters in this workload. Even the workload is relatively lower, but Tern is still managed to use a small number of schedules to get 44% of reuse rate. Now the second evaluation question is, when we change the input slightly, do bugs occur in one run but disappear in another run in buggy programs? So we compare Tern with an existing DMD system called that, which Tom developed. And we pick called that because it's the only one open source and software only DMD system. And it has implemented several typical DMD algorithms. One is used in DOS, as Tom has described. And we pick three buggy programs, FFT, LU, and Barnes from the Spress2 benchmark. We pick Spress2 because we only managed to make code that work with Spress2. The symptoms of the bugs are order violation, which means that a global variable is printed before assigned correct values. And the methodology here is we vary both the number of threads and the computation amount on all the three buggy programs, and we record the bug occurrence over 100 runs for both call that and Tern. And this table shows the result. And it's just a subset of our result. We only show the result of FFT because the result on the other two buggy programs are similar. On the leftmost column of the table, it shows the number of threads. And the bottom column shows the matrix size for FFT. A bigger matrix size means more computation. From the table, we can see that green means no bug, and red means the bug occurred during the 100 runs. And the result shows, call that inconsistently, lets the bug occur or disappear depending on slight change in the matrix size. For example, when we fix the number of threads to be 2, and we change the matrix size from 10 to 12, and then the bug shows up. But when we change the matrix size from 12 to 14, the bug disappears. In contrast, turn consistently, avoid all these three bugs by enforcing their schedules to avoid their order violation. The reason here is, Caudet used 9 schedules to process all these inputs, one for each combination of number of thread and the matrix size. In contrast, Turn only used 3 schedules, one for each thread number. Actually, the matrix size is independent of the schedules of Turn. So here our experience is, if we use fewer schedules to process the workload, and then we are more stable. And actually, this is what Turn brings to us. And we have also tried a wider range of number of threads, a wider range of number of matrix size, and the results are similar. So the third question is, does Turn incur high overhead in reuse runs? We ask this question because Turn is supposed to work with normal execution, not replay debugging execution. So a high overhead, you discourage users to accept it. Okay? So we evaluate 14 programs, including 3 new applications, Apache, MySQL, and PPZip2. For the 2 server programs, we measure both throughput and response time. And we also measure 11 Express2 benchmarks. And the result shows that for 2 out of the 14 programs, Turn substantially speed up the programs with an optimization mentioned in our paper. Please refer to the section 7 in our paper for more details. For 7 out of the 14 programs, Turn incurs less than 10% overhead. And for 5 of them, the overhead is up to 40. The overhead for these five programs is 40 is because these programs perform a big number of simulation operations within a small amount of time. For example, the water N square and the Koleski at the rightmost places. The 2 programs both perform pthread mutex lock and unlock operations within a tight loop. There are more evaluation results mentioned in our paper. To conclude, a takeaway message is the idea of schedule memoization. Memoize past working schedules and reuse them on future inputs when possible. Thus, we can try to map many different inputs to the one schedule, making program behaviors repeatable and stable across different inputs. A big benefit is that, as I have shown, we can reuse fewer well-tested schedules to avoid bugs, to make program behaviors more stable. And we propose Turn, the first stable DMD system. It is easy to use, it makes threads more stable and deterministic, and incur reasonable overhead. Our future work includes developing fast deterministic replay and replication systems on top of Turn. Oh, this is all of my talk. Thank you.
Ding Yuan from University of Illinois. Nice work, but if I understand correctly, you only record the scheduling decision, but do not record the shared memory access order. This might imply that you might not faithfully replay any data race bugs. So can you comment a little bit on that?
Yeah, so your question is, we only memorize single order rather than shared memory access. So in some cases, we may not reproduce data erase bugs. Okay, yeah, I agree what you mean. So the basic purpose of Turn is we try to make programs' behaviors more stable and deterministic. And so the main purpose is not to expose data erase bugs, but we have a flexibility to select race-free schedules so that we can guarantee that our schedule is race-free as So let me show you the basic idea. So as I just said, we only memorize race-free schedules because the reason is if a memory is run containing data races, and the reuse cannot be prevented by the synchronization order we enforce, and then the reuse run may be non-deterministic. So, for example, here we have memory order log L1 and log L2. And suppose there's a data race on arrival X. And in the first, in this run, the four branch of the if statement is taken. And then in the reuse run, because of the data race, this time, although we enforce the same synchronization order, the true branch of the if statement is taken, making the program behavior non-deterministic. So in this case, we apply a race detector to when we are memorizing the schedule. So if we detect a race in as shown on the first figure, we will rerun the program and try to memorize a different schedule that can maybe prevent the race. For example, if we memorize a schedule as shown on the third figure, and then this data race on the variable X is prevented by the synchronization order we enforce. And this time we use this schedule and we discard the first schedule. Okay? So this is a unique flexibility in turn compared to existing DMD systems because we can have the flexibility to just memorize race-free schedules. Do I understand your question? Okay, thanks for your question.
I have a question. It's Tom Ping from UMass again. I have a similar question. I mean, according to my understanding, I mean, the annotation is very important for, I mean, the turn to make properly. Do you have some thoughts, whether, I mean, this annotation can be created automatically in the future or not?
I think you're right. The annotation should be automatically be enforced in the future. For example, we could automatically annotate all the read functions from which read file contained from the file. Right. That part we haven't done it automatically yet. But in our evaluation, we have shown that part is not necessary because we have enough techniques to tolerate this inaccuracy.
Okay.
So,
thank you.
So far, we only need to annotate the input command lines and the URL and as query and as SQL query. Yeah, thank
Thanks.
You. Hey, this is Sun from Yale University, and it is still not too clear to me how you can automatically derive these constraints. And will the constraint become bigger and bigger as the execution goes on, and which makes it harder and takes longer time to match the input against all the constraints?
Okay, thanks for your question. So your question is, if the size of the input constraint is big, then the constraint checking time will be very big and unacceptable in the reuse run.
Yes.
Right. So basically, we have developed two refinements to mitigate this case. The first one is the first refinement is to remove redundant constraint from the constraint set, as you have seen.
Okay.
And the second one is we develop a slicing algorithm to slice out all the branches that do not affect schedules, do not affect synchronization orders.
Okay.
So even the symbolic variable are observed by those branches. But if those branches do not affect any synchronization order, then we just skip that branch. So we will not generate any constraint into our set. So basically, you can refer to our paper that these two refinements has greatly reduce the constraint checking time.
Okay. But basically, still the constraint, the size of constraints will grow as the execution goes on, right?
Yeah.
But
in our evaluation, So, for example, in the batch program, the constraint size is acceptable. It's still acceptable, and it's negligible compared to the absolute execution time. In the server program, right, that's the similar case.
Okay, right. So thanks.
Thanks.
Hey, Brian Ford, Yale. This is a really interesting approach. Nice work. Quickly, is my impression correct that you only memoize and replay schedules at entire program granularity? So you don't currently kind of you can't currently kind of memoize us replay parts of schedules where the entire schedule doesn't fit, but parts of it can, parts of an existing schedule do. And would that be a benefit, or and would it be easy or difficult to do something like that? Do you think?
Okay, thank you. So your question is, if we can replay a partial schedules rather than the whole schedules within an execution? Yeah, I think that's very interesting because in our experience, sometimes we can only reuse partial schedule in this execution. Currently, this is not implemented in our system, but I think that's an interesting direction to go. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
All right, let's thank our speaker.
Thank you.